Yeah. Dad, do you believe in God?
I don't think so. But I do feel comfortable with the idea that there's reincarnation. Because I'm firmly of the belief that if you do shady or wrong things in your life, you're going to pay for them. And it's not because I'm for retribution, but it's a moral guide for me. I cannot make myself lie. There are times when I would like to avoid a situation. And then that voice comes on in my head that says, there's only one thing you can do. And that's to be honest. Mm-hmm. And that's what I grew up with. If we as kids lied to our parents and they found out, they beat us. If we stole, like I stole a sugar cube once, I've never forgotten that. I stole a sugar cube off the coffee table and said I hadn't. And the tongue lashing, the reprimanding I got from my father has stuck with me all these years. I don't know, maybe I was 5 or 6 years old, I can't remember. It was before the war. Because we didn't have sugar cubes during the war. It left an indelible mark on me. And it's not all positive. Because Father always approached us. Like for instance, when I was 21, Father gave me 50 crowns as a birthday present. I went out. I was going to go skiing with two of my friends from the army. And we were going to ski up at Skrim. And we were going to ski from one cabin at Prestesetra. We were going to ski all the way into another ski cabin. It was a long ski, very tiring. We made it. And I was planning to bring that bottle of rum with me so that we could have a good time at the center. And Father's reaction was, when I told him that I bought the bottle of rum, was, well, I hope I don't find you in the gutter. And it was so far away from anything I had imagined that I would do. That kind of judgment to me was a very unfortunate way of Father's behavior. He said it in many things. The thing he said when I got my PhD was, I never thought you could have done it. And I thought, fuck you. But what he really meant, I think, underneath, was that he was impressed. But that isn't what he said. That has to do with honesty too. So you can certainly say very hurtful things when you're trying to be honest. And I think Father suffered from an inability to say the right things at the right time. So I don't mean that kind of honesty. That's hurtful. But I really believe that if you do something wrong, you live with the consequences of that. And I have a feeling that when you're reincarnated, you have to face on all your biases, all your lies, all your problems. For instance, if you are very critical of Muslims in this life for some emotional, irrational reason, or for some real reason, you're going to be faced with living with Muslims in your next reincarnation. Because I believe in what I call this polishing of the spirit. It's a naive thing to believe in, but I can't explain why I believe it. It's a moral guide for me. So do I believe in a God? A God isn't necessary in that. And I look at all the horrible things that Muslims do to their kin. If there's an argument, they hit first, they attack first. They're a violent people, basically. They don't ask questions, they don't mediate, they hit. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, maybe. And so, in thinking about that problem, which I've done a lot of thinking about, because I read about the revolution in Europe, a book called The Revolution in Europe, thoughts on Islam and what's happening to Europe. And then I read Hirschi Ali's book about what Holland was trying to do in its open-mindedness to religious freedom. It said, let the Muslims have their Sharia laws and live in their tight communities. And they're just beginning to realize that these people are not Dutch. They never will be. Many of them never speak Dutch. They circumcise their children. They have Sharia law. The clan is super important. And you never do anything outside of that law. What is written in the Quran is what you have to follow absolutely without any question, because that is what is right. So I'm trying to think of what is it that I need to do. What are you doing?
I'm recording.
Yeah. What is it that we should do when we're thinking about the Muslim problem? Not in a sense of fear, but in trying to understand how the Muslim faith is really not integratable into Western society.
Well, I have a theory about that.
Do you?
Islam came into being in about 742 AD, and therefore is now about 1400 years old. So it may be a fair comparison to compare Islam at 1400 years old and Christianity at 1400 years old. What was Christianity like in 1400 years of age? It was retributive, punitive, mean-spirited.
Yes, it was, and I have said that same thing many times myself.
So I think there's an evolution, a humanistic evolution in religion that takes place over time.
I agree, but if you look at what's happening today, the changes are happening at a far escalated rate than anything that's happened before, because we have so many people. So what tools do we have to cope with that? How do we judge a people that behaves so totally differently in their attitude to women, in their attitude to honor, and then clan and all that kind of
thing? There's no choice. We have no choice. We must integrate and try to understand. The way I think of it is, being when in Rome, do somewhat as the Romans do.
I know what you're saying is absolutely right. But when you realize the Muslim reaction is one of anger, and you can see it all over the world. I mean, you have that stupid minister down in the States who's going to burn 1,000 copies of the Quran. Yeah. He's done more harm in the world than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
He's an ignorant man.
Mm-hmm.
A really ignorant man. Wow.
Yeah.
But to get that, I mean, if an Arab burnt a Bible, so what?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Would you expect the same reaction from a Christian? I don't think so. I don't think so.
What reaction did the Muslims give?
Oh, they've had demonstrations all over the world. They're going to kill any American they can find their hands on.
No. I don't know. Most of their anger is justified in that example. I feel murderous towards that idiot. He needs to be taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope you will read Hirshi Ali's book. It gives a wonderful insight into how the Muslim society works. And for instance, I didn't realize, I guess I did subconsciously, but I didn't consciously realize that the Arabs were aggressive. That's exactly what I found in Egypt in 95 when I went to be with Jennifer.
Hmm.
I didn't like it at all.
You know, that wasn't my experience in Jordan.
No?
Not at all. The Palestinians in Jordan are warm people, friendly, every instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the reason why Egyptians are often seen that way is because they've had shitty European Western tourism for 400 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all for longer than that.
Yeah. So there's reason for them to have suspicion because it was founded on really lousy Western principles when they were first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jordanians haven't had that. But
Jennifer says that Palestinians are not liked by any of the other Arabs.
They're not, because they're thought of as dirty Arabs.
Because they're what?
Dirty Arabs, because they don't have money.
Oh.
They're the only Arab group that doesn't have money. Indonesia is full of money for Arabs. The Gulf states are overflowing with money. Even Syria has lots of money and connections abroad. The Palestinians are the pariah dogs of the Islamic world. They have nothing. They don't even have fresh water.
No, I know.
That's why.
Yeah, I know. I feel pity for them, tremendous pity for them, but I don't want to deal with them.
Hmm. Wow. All I can say is that it was in 2 summers of working in Jordan, I never once came away feeling the way that I felt after I came away from Egypt once.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely different. Very, very wonderful, warm people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there were Muslims.
All Muslim.
Yeah. Well, there are more forms of the Muslim faith than there are of the Christian faith, I think. Because every clan has its own concept of what the Quran says.
Yeah, I think you could say exactly that same thing about the Bible. You have the idiots in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And then you have the Utah idiots. And then you have the Catholic idiots. And you have the Protestant idiots. And you have the Mennonist. And then you have the the Methodists, rather. And then you have the Baptists.
Seventh-day Adventists.
All these flavors. And there's no reason why you wouldn't expect the same flavor.
The point is that some of those don't believe in circumcision, for instance. Some of them don't worry about the hijab at all.
Yeah.
A woman can walk almost in any clothing she wants.
That's the case among the Palestinians in Jordan.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. But Saudi Arabia is seeding its conservatism all over the world as hard as it can with all that money. They're giving money everywhere to convert people.
You know that at the University of Alberta, every year the Saudi National Guard donates the Qurans to be given to anybody studying Arabic at the University of Alberta.
No kidding.
Yeah, the Saudi National Guard. So even fingers into Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, they're proselytizing.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah. And by God, the Christians have done the same.
They've done the same. They're terrible. What they don't realize is that each one is looking into a mirror in almost every facet.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why it's I fundamentally disagree with religion.
Oh, I do too. Organized religion to me is terrible.
It's like being, all of it. It's like being in the army, a soft army.
And all you have to do is look at the Pope tripping in his purple or red shoes downstairs, waving his hands, and oh my God! What a stupid ass! That's my reaction.
It's like his poo doesn't stink.
Like what?
His poo doesn't stink. I saw when he became Pope, there was an English language daily in Italy, and it was a leftist. Was it Italy?
Huh.
It might have been Germany. I think it was Germany. And the headline when he became Pope was "The German Shepherd."
Yeah. And that's what he is.
He is. He's a dog. But he's also a shepherd in the Christian way, right? I thought it was marvelous turn of phrase.
Yeah. And he's put his foot in so many things. That's so many stupid things.
The reason why I asked you that question this morning is that on your wall over there, you've got a variety of quotes from the Bible, and I wondered about that.
Yeah. I don't associate them with the religion. I associate them with the statements of human suffering, statements of dreams and hopes. No, I don't want anything to do with organized religion.
No, I didn't think so.
No. But is there a superior being somewhere? No, I don't think so.
Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
No, I think that's just delusional. It's delusional.
We can't exist without the concept of purpose. That's what I think. If we're here and we're living like this, it must be for some reason.
No.
No, of course it doesn't.
There's no reason. There's no more reason for us to be living here and sitting and talking than it is for that mouse to be tortured and killed outside by B2 yesterday. There's no more reason for us to be here eating, sleeping, walking, and talking than it is for ants in the garden. Exactly the same. There's no reason.
Well, that's a good Buddhist view. That's what Buddhists feel.
Yeah.
Every organism, not plants, but every moving organism has a right to be. So my question is that inclusive enough?
Yeah, that's it. The end. We live, we die.
Well, no, that's not what I meant. I was meaning maybe plants should be included.
Yeah, I mean, there's fundamentally no difference between you and a plant.
there are some subtle differences.
But, you know, it's just purely by chance that, you know, something crashed into Earth at some point and had some spores on it or something?
Well, it's a very intriguing question.
Yeah. I think there is hilarious. I read the other day where Sarah Palin was talking. Was it? Was it Sarah Palin? Was talking about the. Oh, no, it wasn't her. It was Christine somebody in the States who's been making some noise in the States. She's part of this Tea Party movement in the States. Mm-hmm. Christine something. And she said, no, no, no. The Earth was created in 6 days. Six 24-hour periods. And on the seventh day, the Lord rested. And so a question was put to her. Well, the God didn't create the sun until the third day. And we define our day by the sun, by the rotation. So how do you know that the 2 days previous were 24-hour periods? There's no sun to create a time by. There's no answer to that.
Well, I don't know if I told you about that. Down at Innisfail, I think it is, the creationists have a museum where they picture man contemporary with dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when you go in to see this really incredible performance, you have to sign a guest book. And when you've signed the guest book, you are written down in their history as supportive of their creationist movement. So they take your name and they publicize it with, say, we have a following of so many thousand people.
Right.
So you can't go in there.
That's just fine with me.
It's a little curious. I'll look in the window.
I write down Mickey Mouse. Yeah, right. A follower of 25,000 people and one mouse.
Yeah, right. That would be a good idea. Why not Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah. That's right. You know why they did that?
No.
They did that?
Oh.
Yeah, there's one there too. To help your fingers grip, maybe.
Huh.
One on each side.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Well, we should think about going, I think, right?
No, it's nearly 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, say bye-bye.
Bye.